Transitions podcast was created to promote individual healing and growth, and to prevent or minimize the depression, anxiety, and frustration that often comes with an LDS, faith crisis, or awakening. It's my ethical obligation as a licensed psychologist to note that what you're about to hear may sound like psychotherapy, but it's not. It is a practical tool to help you make your journey toward authenticity without sacrificing the best parts of your life. Mormon Transitions is a production of the Open Stories Foundation and relies solely upon the support of people like you, its listeners. To help keep the podcast alive or to become a member of the community, please become a monthly subscriber by visiting mormontransitions.org and clicking on the yellow button on the right side of the page under support. All contributions to Mormon Transitions are completely tax deductible and go towards producing the podcast and building communities and programs of support for Mormons like you. Thanks for your support.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mormon Transitions. I'm your host, Christy Money, and today this is a special treat for me, honestly. I have with me my friend April.
Hey.
Thank you so much for being here, April. She's here with me, actually, in my house. I'm going to set the stage for just a second because, we're here in the living room. Our kids are playing outside. My husband's watching them, and crisp fall day, and we just finished going to a fall festival. Our kids are our best friends, so we're going to talk a bit about April's Mormon transition, and maybe give some hope to people who are wondering, you know, will I ever stop thinking about the church, or will it constantly be, you know, a huge issue in my life, or will it always be that way? I mean, sometimes it can be overwhelming, especially in the early stages of the transition. But April, you've been out for, 10 years?
Is mm-hmm. it? Yeah, about 10 years is kind of when I started feeling the disconnect from mm-hmm. from the church and the just questions about the other things that were out there for me. Growing up in Boise, Idaho, was definitely a very strong LDS, you know, background and everything like that. So basically all of my neighbors and friends and everything like that were in the church. And so that's just kind of where it started for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got out young.
Yeah.
You were, 15, 16?
Well, to kind of just start my story with a Mormon church, our ancestors' roots go back to the neighbors of Joseph Smith that lived in Nauvoo, Illinois.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So we actually, as a family vacation, went to Nauvoo and visited, you know, the site of our ancestors. And they did make the pilgrimage to Salt Lake City. And my grandfather was the mayor of North Salt Lake, and he was also the bishop for the bishop's storehouse. So my dad's side of the family was extremely, in-depth Utah Mormon. I say that in quote marks because mm-hmm. Utah Mormons definitely have a different reputation than other Mormons outside of Utah, kind of. So my dad was really like in this very, you know, Mormonville. My mom came from Brooklyn, New York, so she was not Mormon at all, but she met my dad and got baptized. And my dad did have a moment of disconnect from the church when he was 16, 17. He kind of had that motorcycle, 70s, long red hair, you know, met like this. My mom used to be a bodybuilder, so they were definitely kind of living the dream and doing those different things then. But I was born in Salt Lake City. We moved to Yakima, Washington, and then I grew up in Boise, Idaho. So I was baptized at the age of 8, like most Mormons mm-hmm. are. And I had a lot of friends in the church. And I had a lot of friends that weren't in the church either. But, you know, all of my belief system and everything like that, we were doing baptisms in the temple. My brother, I don't think I cried as much as a kid as when my brother got married because he was, you know, that family unit. I'll never forget the day that he got his mission call. We all thought he was going to be going to Africa or like save people in, you know, Mexico or something. And he got called to Washington, which was almost walking distance from Idaho.
Oh, man.
You know, and so it's just the Mormon Church definitely, you know, we had those strong family values that they very much instill in people, you know, and but I still felt a disconnect there. You know, and I grew up in Boise, but around my senior year, my parents moved us from Boise, Idaho to Southwest Florida. And Southwest Florida is not the kind of in-depth Mormonism that you'd find in Boise. So it was definitely a culture shock. And at that point, my parents fell away from the church. And I had already, you know, had those feelings and those doubts and different things. And so when they decided to leave, you know, or start drinking basically and doing the things that they were doing, it was kind of a, you know, green light for me to do that. But it also left me with this gaping despair and hole because everything I had known from the Mormon Church had been taken from me, essentially. And, you know, the people in my ward and the people that I had back in Idaho, I never heard from. These people I grew up my entire life, I really didn't hear from again. And then I got down to Florida and didn't find a very welcoming, loving new ward. It was just the way that I kind of fell into it. We were kind of outsiders. I don't know. I don't really know where the disconnect was there, but I know that I didn't feel any of that warmth or love that I had felt before. And I was really scared, you know, because I hadn't known anything else in my life.
Oh.
So,
And how old were you then?
I was 17 when we moved down there. So, I was just entering my senior year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was just learning, you know, basically about college and, like, you know, all these things. But my life was so much different now because all I thought I was supposed to do was grow up and get married in the temple, find a husband, have a bunch of babies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, that's what I had been taught. I didn't learn anything about drugs. You know, I barely heard cussing. And in the school halls of my high school, girls were pregnant and there was copious amounts of drugs, you know, and different things that I didn't pay any attention to because of my lifestyle growing up, you know, which was really scary. And so it was really, just, you know, my parents fell away and I just started really learning about life, you know, and I was graduating high school and I was just learning about other cultures and people. And it was like, wow, there's this whole other world out there. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know about, yeah. You know?
A lot of people describe it as seeing color for the first time, seeing color.
Yeah.
Like Dorothy coming out of her house.
Yeah.
In the Master of Oz, and it's just seeing all that color.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could, that's really neat. I've never heard of it put that way, and that's definitely how it was. And I also kind of had, you know, those like, I always felt like I had kind of like a tattletale system around me. You know, I like wanted to experiment and be different and be a teenager. But you always had those like people that were in your church or in your ward that could be driving down the street while you were like standing and talking to the boy on the side of the road or these different things. And I mean, parents are going to be protected, you know, but here I am in Florida with no one or nothing around me and not really a church basis anymore. So even if I was scared or lonely, I didn't even know really the people's names that were there in that ward. I don't really remember people reaching out to me. I remember it being very cold. And so I just kind of decided that I was just going to decide what to do from there. You know, my parents struggled a lot with the different things in their life. And I kind of just started walking on my own, you know. And after my senior year, I moved out. I got a couple of jobs. And you know, I just kind of didn't look back. Mm-hmm. On that. So, so that was probably when I was about 18 and I'm almost 30 now and still, you know, the LDS church is a very active part of my life in the sense of contact I make with it. My brother is very active in the LDS church. He lives in Utah. And there was a point, you know, I had my daughter out of, I wasn't married when I got pregnant and had my daughter, and my brother, you know, approached me and wanted to actually adopt her from me and take her to Utah so that he could raise her for me.
Scary. Oh man, I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah. I think that I'm actually really lucky, because there's probably people out there who didn't have the way out that I did. I think, you know, I saw one of my cousins, she just barely graduated high school and she got married. Mm-hmm. And she is on her second baby. And that was probably two or three years ago.
Wow.
You know, and I can't imagine just even trying to start a family that young. And, you know, it just makes me nervous and sad and almost want to be like, no, 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 you know. for me, definitely the hardest part right in my life today is just, you know, knowing the religious family that lives in Utah and different things like that will always kind of look down on me for not choosing their way. But I have my own higher power today that I love and care about very much. And I know that he cares about me, he or she. I have a higher power that really is very in depth in my life and has shown me things and given me spiritual experiences that I could compare to spiritual experiences that I had when I was Mormon. I never thought that I would feel the spirit again. I never thought that I would find a God of my own understanding, and I absolutely have. And that is the best gift I've been given today. You know, really, it took a lot of struggling. You know, it was trying out different churches. And I'll tell you, some of the churches I tried out, especially being from the Midwest, I'd never been to like a Baptist church because we're here in Georgia, you know, mm-hmm. I've never been to a Baptist church before. And they're like, hallelujah, and like jumping on their feet. And I was like, what is going on here? I tried I've gone to a couple of different churches here. There's ones that, you know, watch the preacher every Sunday on a teleprompter. And I just couldn't get over it. But I was like thinking, but then I related it like, oh, well, you know, that's what we do during conference. Yeah. So that's what they do every day, you know? And, but I've found my little niche in different things. And I found people who, you know, who are good regardless of what religion they've come from. And, you know, it's just odd to think that, you know, something that, you know, can take up so much of your mind and time, you come to realize that it's just a religion, just like these Catholic rules or just like these Baptist rules or like people that you meet that can't do this or can't do that. I mean, the Mormons also have those rules and they're just a religion as well, you know, so that's a little bit of my story.
Thanks. And well, I want to jump into more. Mm-hmm. So let me just, for listeners out there who are realizing that, you know, we're both here in Georgia, here in this, you know, same room together, friends for a couple of years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when we met, I think we met at one of the food truck
mm-hmm.
parties,
yeah,
in Athens, and our daughters just immediately hugged because they're in the same pre-K class, and I mean, we had no idea that mm-hmm. that each other had, you know, a Mormon history,
right?
And I think for about a year and a half, mm-hmm. we had no idea. Our, mm-hmm. you know, our kids are best friends, and it's like small world.
Yeah,
and, I think it just emphasized, or at least for me, it emphasized how, you know, there is hope for people who are just wondering, like, is the church always going to be at the forefront, you know, or mm-hmm. will people, you know, always get this vibe from me, of, you know, that I'm a transitioning Mormon? And, you know, obviously neither of us picked up on it
at right.
all. I think, what was it? It was at Ari's birthday party, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
my dad and your husband started talking about the Mormon church and everything like that. And that's kind of how this all came together, really.
Yeah, I was just floored. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So, and you've, from what we were talking about just before we started recording, like you just got into podcasts yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So not familiar with Mormon stories, or I mean that's what a lot of our listeners probably know about. This whole podcasting world, it's all new to you?
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, I listen to different stories by people online, but it's more on a recovery basis. My family and myself all have history with recovery. And so there's different podcasts that are kind of that genre that we listen to. So I like listening to stories, mm-hmm. and I've never really told my story on a podcast before, so it's kind of cool to be part of this experience.
Yeah. Well, yeah. April, I can't thank you enough for being willing to do this with me. All right. So let's see, where did we leave off? I mean, we talked a bit about about moving to Florida and then mm-hmm. graduating, and how it was a bit of a crazy time to have, you know, all of that, your Mormon upbringing, just, you know, completely being displaced from that.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you say, you know, you first started to doubt? Like, what was it, that thing about the church that first made you question, like, huh, you know, that doesn't feel right?
I think that I saw other this is so funny to think about this, but I guess I just saw other people that weren't Mormon doing a lot of things that were not part of the, I don't know, like the rules that Mormons always live by, and it's like the pounding of, like, this is the right way, this is the right church, this is what we do, like, anybody who doesn't do this is wrong, and they're wrong, and they're not living the right life, and I think that I had friends that weren't Mormon, and they still were good people, you know, but maybe one of them would smoke cigarettes or, you know, drink wine on occasion, or their parents would or something, you know, and I also think, too, I just had a little bit of that, like, teen curiosity in me, and the astounding guilt that came from even just being curious about stuff was really uncomfortable, and I don't think that spirituality is uncomfortable. I don't think that when you're feeling spiritual and feeling, you know, like your higher power's presence, I don't think that you should be uncomfortable in that space, you know? And so when I was uncomfortable thinking about, you know, my desires and different things like that, and asking for, you know, help in decision making and stuff, it was just sad that there wasn't a comforting love there, but more of a fear, mm-hmm. and a scary doubt. And, you know, if I go do this, then, you know, like, what if I mm-hmm. get kicked out, or what if the people in my ward found out, or, you know, and, mm-hmm. And, you know, there's certain things that are loving and wonderful, like singing in church on Sunday made me really happy, you know, and being around my friends and family and getting to see them on Wednesdays or getting to see them on Sundays was happy. And it's happy in other community based churches as well, you know, and there's definitely other places that you can find that kind of happiness, but the guilt and shame of a lot of things that are natural human experiences, especially nowadays, you know. And the older I've gotten, you know, I've tried drinking, I've tried smoking, you know, I've gotten tattoos, and I drink coffee every day, guilt-free, but it had to get to this point where I was just okay being me. You know, it wasn't somebody else's opinion of what I should be. And that's really a beautiful place that I've gotten to, you know, and, it's really interesting to think about, how far it has come from the place I used to be, you know, 'cause especially when I had my daughter's 5, and when I had her, I thought, okay, this is when I have to go back to the church. And that's what happened with my parents. When my parents started having kids, that's when they went back to being LDS, because that was, like, the right religion. It's where they needed to be. That's where they need to learn their values and everything like that. Because, you know, and so there was that guilt and shame of not raising their family in the church, you know. And with my dad having this lineage, a very strong, you know, LDS priesthood men, you know, and so they went back to raising their kids. So when I had my daughter, you know, my parents still were kind of attending the Mormon church, and they, you know, it's kind of like a thing whenever my brother comes to town, they go to church, they have to look up when the ward is and like go, you know, they still, but
I probably know the building they go to.
Right. Exactly. But when I had my daughter, I went through a lot of the guilt of like, okay, now is when I'm gonna have to be Mormon, you know, and it's so funny to laugh about now, but right then it was so serious, you know, and
sure.
My parents still occasionally have the missionaries for dinner here in Georgia. I see them on the side of the road, and sometimes I honk and wave, you know, but I do that because I think it's nice to be nice to other human beings, regardless of their religion. But yeah, I went through this whole, like, just really like, oh no, what if she doesn't know God? Like, what if she doesn't know this? What if she doesn't know that? Like, oh, she's going to miss singing on Sunday, which hasn't been the case at all. We say our prayers, you know, and we talk about different things that her mom believes in, you know, and those are things that will be passed down with her. And, she has friends that attend church. We attend a church locally, you know, but it's not the only foundation of our family. And that is one thing that's been really major, is our foundation is built on our nature hikes and, on our prayers at bedtime, you know, on our brushing our teeth together, like all these different things that make us happy and make us a family, not just a religion that's telling us about how to be a family, you know, and not telling us that we have to meet every single Monday night and make it a family night. No, we're going to have family nights whenever, like, mom is not too tired to have a family night. So.
Yeah. And may I just say thank you for taking my girls on one of those nature hikes.
Oh, yes.
Yesterday.
It was fun. I don't know ever again that I think we went, like, 6 different places yesterday, because every place we went to, we, like, ran into some sort of roadblock. Like, one place was having a rock and gem show, and I was not bringing a 3-year-old to a shiny rock show. There was going to be things in her pockets, but
oh, yeah.
No, it was really fun. It was really, really fun, and it's amazing that we can come together and almost be family, you know, and bond on things like the fact that we're both working on just having normal lives, like normal human beings. You know, we're little tiny ants on this huge earth, but our joy is so enormous and strong and happy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I can tell you how much of a joy you and Ari have been in our life. I love how we can, you know, we're almost chosen family
mm-hmm.
for each other.
And, yeah.
When Malcolm got his arm hurt and Rolf had to go to the hospital, you were there for us. And mm-hmm. so we, in that, it's just like having a sister
mm-hmm.
you know, locally to call on and
yeah.
You know, when we need help. And you know, that's something I know a lot of people, when they're transitioning out of Mormonism, they mm-hmm. they worry about not finding that again.
Right.
When that you'll lose that when you lose the ward. And it can be very traumatic in the early stages. I think, I mean, you spoke to that really well about
mm-hmm.
Your move from Idaho to Florida and just losing that. That can be really hard for people. But I'm also here to say, you and I are a testament to
yeah.
how you can find a new community, find a new family.
Yeah.
And I mean, you still have, from what I understand, a great relationship with your parents, and
yeah.
you guys are close.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying you've displaced your parents. You sound
yeah.
like a very, very loving relationship.
I was really fortunate to be given parents that accept the fact that I'm not LDS anymore. You know, some people are not that fortunate. But I also, you know, I thought about a lot of things that people go through, like being gay. And, or being, you know, deciding that they have a man that they want to marry and be with. And their parents, you know, displacing them. And the similarities are, you know, like, it's a totally different thing. But, like, I just think about how parents, you know, either you can be loving or not. And I know what kind of parent I want to be, you know, and if my child was like, no, you know, I don't want to be part of this anymore, you know, you can only work on yourself. And if you decide that this isn't right for you and this isn't what you want to do anymore and it doesn't make you happy, you know, then it's kind of like, well, see you later, haters. You know, like, that's kind of the thing is I honestly thought about, you know, if my brother never spoke to me again, who was the light kind of my life. He was like my big, strong brother, served a mission, you know, and he was like always there for me, you know, and I thought about, well, if I'm not going to be a Mormon anymore, you know, what is my brother going to be to me? And he's still part of my life. You know, he still thinks I'm making the wrong decisions. But that's okay today because I'm working on myself, you know. But it's just amazing how it can tear people apart. This, you know, this religion can actually, instead of bringing people closer together or just being okay with accepting someone for what they want to be, it's just like, nope, you're wrong, you know, and that's hard.
It's a
hard pill.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the stories I've heard over the years, even involving violence in some cases, just it's so hard, I think, for families to understand, like, what you're talking about now, about how you've decided, you know, you listened to your, you know, the voice inside, and something didn't feel right for you, so you made your own path, and are making different decisions, you know, based on your value system that wasn't given to you by, you know, the church anymore. This is like what you hold as, you know, the most important things in your life. You're handing them down to Ari, and from what I've seen, your parents seem to understand and appreciate that, and that's great. It's I wish that for all families. And dedicating my life to making it better for people.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you're brave to be talking to me right now. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, tell me a little bit more about how often. I mean, I'll just ask this. Like, how often do you think about the church? Yeah. It's been 10 years, right?
Yeah, it's been 10 years. There was a point where the, like, Mormon Tabernacle Choir was on my Pandora playlist, just because I enjoyed the music of it. Like a lot of LDS kids, we grow up in the choir kind of singing realm of life. And so I would listen to that, or I would listen to, you know, different things. So I would find myself, like, humming songs I learned in primary, or singing my daughter a song that I learned in church, you know. But honestly, you know, it's only every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I've found happiness in a lot of other places nowadays, I think. And so, there, you know, it was kind of like coming down to making a list of pros and cons. You know, and it was like, yeah, there's good Mormon, you know, values for family. And yes, there's the fact that you're in a ward of people. And like, there was like this, yeah, but then there was like, like my con list was so much longer. And I kind of had to mentally go back to it a lot in my head when I kind of found myself thinking of those thoughts of, oh, I'm gonna die, and then my daughter's not gonna be able to find me in heaven. Like, you know, these really, like, mentally, like, and this unbearable thought that my daughter would never be able to find me, you know, was like, oh my gosh. But then I realized that my God is a loving God, you know, and whatever the afterlife holds, it's either to be with my daughter or not. She's going to be an adult one day too. But that's like future tripping. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do it. You can't do that to yourself. And so I've found myself thinking of the church sometimes at Christmas time. You know, when I think, oh, I could fly out to Utah and go hang out with everyone, we're going to do all this stuff, you know. But then I think about, you know, maybe I'd tie my hair up and they see the tattoos behind my ears. You know, maybe I'd accidentally say the F word when I stub my toe in the hall. You know, and these things that would be completely unacceptable. And I love my family that's out there, but it just wasn't a right fit for me. And so slowly but surely, it's just kind of become a thing of the past for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, I'm a baptized Mormon, but I'm not practicing anymore, is what I tell people. You know, I'm not part of that religion. They say, oh, well, you lived in Utah and were you like one of six wives? And I actually take the time sometimes actually it was this last weekend when I was on a road trip. I took the time to explain Joseph Smith's story and kind of how it worked in the reorganized church and the regular church. And stuff. And they were all like, we never knew that. And then the conversation moved on. And it was just like this, you know, thing. And it actually was kind of cool because I got to speak about a religious background, you know, just like a Bible story for other people, you know. And it was fine. And they moved on with it. And that whole entire rest of the weekend, I didn't think about church or anything like that, you know. And it was like, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, I know about that religion or I know about those people. And it's funny, out in Georgia, often they're like, oh, is that like, they're like Amish, right? And you're like, well, if you look at their clothes, yes, they're pretty close. I'm just kidding.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean, out in Georgia, we hear either, yeah, like the Amish or, oh, the cult, right? That cult.
My mom got one time in a Baptist church out in, like, North Carolina. They thought we had horns. Mm. Like, that there was actual horns that came out of our skin, which is an amazing... That'd be pretty cool. I don't know if I could leave a religion that, like, let you grow horns. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think this will be good news for a lot of our listeners who it feels so so strong in the moment as they're early on their transition. And from what I'm hearing, you're saying that it's sort of faded away.
Yeah.
It was strong in the moment. I mean, mm-hmm. I can understand and very much relate to that fear that, oh, if I make the wrong choice, you know, will my kids be apart from me, you know?
Right.
And the celestial kingdom, you know what?
Yeah.
And then, like you said, coming to terms with, well, you know, the present is you know, complex and mm-hmm. and joyous enough as it is. So let's, you know, stay the here and now and let the future, you know, worry about itself. And
yeah. I think too. I was just like thinking of something right when you were mm-hmm. saying that. What was it?
Take your time.
I can't remember what I was saying. I was just thinking, oh, it was just like being able to focus on a spirit in my life, you know, and it took some work of finding my own kind of God, you know, and my own kind of spiritual path. And the other thing I think about as well is that we all kind of yearn for our childhood. No matter what church you grew up in or kind of what background you come from, there's going to be those sweet moments of me chasing my friends around the temple outside while we're waiting for someone to walk out. That's going to be a sweet moment that I will cherish. My mom bought me a brand new pair of white high heels when I was 8 years old. They weren't really high heels, but you know what I mean if you have a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I wore them on the day to get baptized. And I was like, they were my shiny new pair of shoes and they were wonderful. And that is a memory I'm going to hold forever. But I still have a happy life, you know, and I'm able to still give my daughter these sweet, loving moments and teach her values outside of being LDS now, you know. So just finding spirituality on my own was all sorts of different ways, writing, doing yoga, meditation, doing all these things. And really, for me, it's just finding a quiet place. And I'm not a very quiet person. So sitting down and finding myself being able to, you know, prayer is how I communicate with God, but me being quiet is the way that he talks to me in my life. And so it's been really neat to be able to find that for myself, you know. And I sometimes I struggle with things and I pray about it and I pray. And I do get answers. Like I do have spiritual experiences. And that's the neatest part of all of this, is like oh my gosh, I'm not part of this religion anymore, but like I still have something come out and talk to me and take care of me and love me. And that's the best part, you know? That's the best part. I'm not alone out here. There is something still looking out for me. And it's, and you know, and then there still is something that cares about me that's bigger than myself. And I don't have to, if I'm uncomfortable somewhere, I don't have to live in it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have choices.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I love how you describe that, your own personal spirituality. Mm-hmm. I imagine that's another fear that, that many have, that if you leave the church, that you won't feel that again. That, for those who want a spiritual life. Right. And who appreciated that in, you know, when they were Orthodox Mormon, I've heard from many, you know, the worry, like, will I feel that again? And you're here to say you have.
Yeah.
It depends. I mean, some people, they understandably, they you know, they want a break, or, you know, they're you know, not as interested, and especially if they felt betrayed, you know, by those feelings that they, you know, were trained to have about, like, the prophet, for example, like, pray to know that the prophet speaks for God, and then when you find out, oh, sounds like the prophet doesn't speak for God, God's not talking to the prophet anymore, because there's some interesting things being said, you know.
Yeah.
But then you feel a sense of betrayal, and that can be really hard, too.
Yeah. I think one thing that was really hard for me to swallow as a kid was having to tell the bishop everything.
Oh yeah,
I had a sexual experience that was wrong, and I had to tell my bishop about it. You know, and this is like a teen girl coming to this like older man, and like explaining something very private. You know, and that just still blows me away today. That like did that, you know, like,
yeah,
just the in-depth, and you know. But then I totally forgot about this. I remember going to seminary before junior high school, and like, you know, like me and another boy would sneak off and like make out in another room, you know. And it's funny because now we can look back and think like, oh, you silly, like preteen, like kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like back then it was like such a sin, you know, and like all these things and
so much guilt.
Yes. Well, and
confess it.
But I remember after telling the bishop, I couldn't take the sacrament. And I couldn't take the sacrament around all the people that were sitting around me. And that was, even after explaining what happened and all things, the most horrifying experience was having to be embarrassed in front of everyone like that, like having to go through the shame of it. And I was a teenage girl, you know, like it was just, there's just different things. You're like, whoa, you know, like that should be illegal.
Yeah, they need to reform that process.
Yeah.
Yesterday. For confessing sexual sins to the bishop. Yeah.
It's definitely interesting, like, all the different, like, highs and lows of it. But going back just to talking about, like, finding my own higher power and different things like that, I never doubted that I had a spirit, like, spiritual presence in my life. I remember praying as a child and knowing that there was, like, a higher power, you know, and they taught us, like, it was God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. Like, those are the people that were around you. You know, so I was always taught to pray. But I remember being a kid one time praying, and I was really, really upset about something. I kind of felt, you know, like a spiritual, some almost like a voice or a thought come to me that made me feel better, you know? And that was like when I was really Mormon. But I've had an experience like that out of being Mormon, out of 10 years of, you know, what would be considered like sin in the Mormon religion and different things. And I mean, I have had answers to things and a loving something wrap its arms around me and tell me, you know, it's okay. And show me that I'm still loved and part of this amazing thing, you know? So it's just been really, it's been really neat to be able to still find that in life, Mm-hmm. You know, and there's different things from the Mormon religion I'll still use today, like praying at night with my daughter. You know, that's one thing that we do, but that's a personal choice of mine. You know, because I do have a faith. It's just not a Mormon faith anymore. You know, and the one thing that I never really got over was not wearing crosses. Like, crosses were, like, never a thing in the Mormon religion.
Right.
You know, and it's just funny how little things like that, like, something that's really beautiful in a lot of faiths and reminds people of Jesus Christ and, you know, just this thing that people have and love and adore was, like, ixnayed for people, you know, in the religion and stuff like that. It's just, my God is very loving and appreciates people no matter the background, and you know, and that's the point where I personally got to today is whether someone wears a cross or worse, whether someone decides to have a partner of the same sex or different things like that, I'm going to love them because that's who my higher power is. So this is a very loving person.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No matter what.
Yeah.
Unconditional love. That's a message that I think that your daughter Ari is lucky to have and to see that exemplified in you.
Mm.
So, April, again, it's been a pleasure. It's good to connect again and to also let people know that, you know, we did not give off, you know, former Mormon vibes or whatever in our countenance.
You couldn't
see it in our spirit or anything like that.
I didn't have CTR across my forehead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, there's that worry that you'll be able to see the light in our countenance is gone or one way or the other. Like, we just... We're like everybody else.
Yeah.
For better, for
we're
worse.
Human. Yeah. We're human beings. Yeah. We put the one shoe on the same as everybody else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the beautiful part of it, is I think that I've met so many different people and different religions and stuff, you know, now in my life that probably I wouldn't have been open to had I not decided to choose a different way in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, welcome to the world.
Whoa, there's so much out here. Watch out.
All right, well.
Thanks for joining us today on Mormon Transitions. If you enjoyed this episode, please help us make more like it by becoming a subscriber at mormontransitions.org. Music for this episode was provided by Iris Dement.
Some say they're going to a place called glory, and I ain't saying it ain't a fact. But I've heard that I'm purgatory, and I don't like the sound of that. Well, I believe in love and I live my life accordingly, but I choose to let the mystery be. Everybody is wondering what and where they all came from. Everybody is worrying about where they're